So you're full of love and support, and what else could I ask for?
Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe, and I'll bet you know where you are, inside the Paisley Penny Arcade, which is a place of the imagination. That's right. Why? Because, well, Paisleys are beautiful little things, filled with color and energy, and that's what we are. We are wonderful little things filled with color and imagination, aren't we? Yes, say I. All of those in favor, say I. I say we. We, monsieur. All right, and all those of you who say French cringe in unison. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with cringing in unison. And if you know unison, then let them know or whatever. Hey, how are you doing? Today is Wednesday, the 19th of February, 2025. How are you? What's going on this delightful Wednesday? Cold Wednesday. It is cold. Certainly is around where I am in the wee chilly, poof, it's cold. So that's all right. It's supposed to be cold. That's this time of year. We are, that's just what it is. Whew. What a month it's been for me. And I'm sure many of you have had such a month. That's a fact. A lot of things going on. I hope all is well with you. Things are coming right along with me. And I've got my handy dandy koala, or kaula, or however it's pronounced, which is a flute, which I won't bore you with. Blow your eardrums out. I shan't. Tomorrow is going to be the third waxing moon quarter. Waning. It's waning. Well, you might as well get an umbrella out. Sorry. Yeah. It's that type of day. That type of day. The crazy things going on in the world. Would you agree? Would you? I think if you pay attention to what's going on in the world, you'd say, what is happening? Strangities. Strangities. A lot of things happening. I won't get into the news because I don't feel like screaming at the top of my hands. That's something my mom used to say. She said, I screamed at the top of my hands. And I, you know, I love that because my mom, when she would scream, she would use her hands. You know, when she yelled, she talked with her hands. She was Egyptian. She was born and raised in Alexandria, Egypt. And even though she looked like she might be Scottish, very fair complected. She would scream at the top of her hands. One day she was talking about someone who was snobbish, and she said, you know, Momo, her nose was full of air. And I just loved that. Her nose was full of air. I wish I had written down everything she said, because, oh, what a book it would have been. She just absolutely had her way with the language. It was really something to do with. Just loved how she played with the language. My mom, she was something. She got excited a lot. She did scream from the top of her hands. So she was screaming and her hands were screaming. Oh my gosh, what a din. So I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing very, very well. Things are kind of fascinating right now. You know what? I think I'm going to open up my astrology program, take a look at it, and see what the sky is showing us. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think I'm just going to open up a... No, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. I just want a chart. Just open up a chart. Take a look. I do Vedic astrology. And Vedic astrology is mighty different than Western. And that it just is, trace simple. And that it's the old system, and that every planet of the seven, because they could only see seven planets in the sky, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, and that's all. And they each had a couple of signs that they owned. Sun and Moon, they shared Cancer and Leo. Well, that's not how it worked, but the Sun owns Leo and the Moon owns Cancer. And I'm just taking a look now to take a look at some things and just see what's up in the sky. And for this chart that I erected just right now, we're in a dasha. We have what are called dashas, a Vimshottari dasha system, which means 120, which is based upon the idea that the natural human lifespan is 120 years, but due to bad living and bad karma that we only live to be as long as we live, we're in a Jupiter-Sun-Mars dasha. Oh, well, that's powerful. Those are three mighty powerful planets. Jupiter, Sun, dasha. Jupiter is in. Now, I'm going to use some terms here that don't jive with regular astrology, mainly because it's a sidereal system, which means it uses the actual positions of the planets in the sky as opposed to the tropical system, which uses a theoretical position of the planets in the sky. For instance, saying that on the 20th, of March, 21st of March, what we call the vernal equinox, which is the vernal equinox everywhere, that the sun will go into 0 degrees of Aries, and it hasn't done that in over 2,000 years. It actually goes to about 6 degrees of Pisces, somewhere around there. But that's because of the precession of the equinox, blah, blah, blah. But right now, the Jupiter is actually in about 17 degrees of Taurus. 7 degrees, 29 minutes, to be more precise. So Jupiter is in Taurus. The Sun is in 7 degrees of Aquarius. Taurus, Aquarius, and Mars is retrograde in Gemini. I know you're thinking it's in Leo, but this is actually how it is in the sky. So those three planets, Taurus, Aquarius, and Gemini retrograde. So when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planet and love is in the stars. But that's not what's happening. So, it's very different. So, basically, what we're seeing right now is a very interesting grouping of the planets. The Vimshottari Dasha system is saying that this is what's happening until the 21st, which is 3 days away, and then things will change to Rahu, and that's in Pisces. So, what's happening right now is there is a sort of a recidivism going on, trying to... and then it's going to be back in Pisces, which is all about, so there is definitely something happening right now, trying to pull one over, and this is probably all over the world, people trying to pull one over on, I'll say, the public. I don't want to get into politics, but I think that may be what this is about. And that this is going to be a process that's going to just be whatever it is for a while. For a while, you see. And this will go until April of 2025, and then things will kind of break loose and things will get better. So expect things to be kind of hectic and shaking up, and for there to be some disagreeable things happening for a while, but not terrible. With Jupiter, it's going to be Jupiter, Sun, Jupiter in April, and then Jupiter, Sun, Saturn until May 15th. And Jupiter, Sun, Saturn will then begin to write things because Saturn is in Aquarius. And so this is how we do Vedic. We look at these things and we say, well, that's pretty good because Saturn owns Aquarius and Mercury's in there and the Sun's in there, and right now anyway. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm just looking around and saying, yep. And the Moon is in Libra. So we should find out some things that should clarify what's going on in the world. At least that's what I'm seeing. Don't want to save this chart? No, because I don't really feel like doing this anymore. That's how I feel. How do you feel? How are you feeling? I know I was kind of a bummer last week. Sorry about that. A friend of mine passed. I'm kind of getting on to other things. Got to move on. I mean, and that sounds harsh. But life goes on. Obladi, oblada, life goes on, bra. Not the type you wear, but bra. Husband, bro. That's the way life is. We have to keep moving. And I feel like, trust me, do I feel like moving on. Been thinking a lot about life and how beautiful it is and how incredible it is and how each one of us, man, we gotta snap too. We have to keep enjoying ourselves and enjoying the wonder of this incredible ride. It really is fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me. One of the things that's kind of incredible is, have you ever noticed how different things are even though they're called the same thing? I'll give you an example. Dogs. We have a golden doodle, and the dog we had before was also a golden doodle. But they are completely different. Nothing alike. Trudy, who was our golden doodle before, was pretty calm. She was calm. She was sweet. She didn't chew things up. She had toys that she got when she was a puppy. And she was 8 years old when we lost her. And she had toys from when she was a puppy, like I said. And now we have Coco Bean. And Coco Bean is a sweet, sweet dog, but she is destructive. This morning, I turned my head for a second, and she had gotten the remote control for something. I don't use the remote controls. I'm not allowed. I don't even know how to use them. So she had the remote control, and she had all in a split second, she had popped off the battery thing, which of course is incredibly dangerous, and popped off the little lens off the front and was growling at me. Not that she's never bitten me or anything, but she was like, this is mine. I'm going to destroy it now. I'm going to pulverize it. And it's like, wow, she's 10 months old. So she's still in that puppy stage and still challenging, but she is a completely different dog. Every toy that we gave her that had been Trudy's, she had disemboweled and torn to shreds. And it's like, wow, different, same breed, but different dog. And you think to yourself, this is the wonder of nature, is that these two different things that are the same sort of breed, quote unquote, completely different personality. And she has a different personality. Trudy was not a snuggler. Just didn't want to snuggle. She just was not like that. But Coco Bean, boy, you know, in the lap. Snuggle up all night long. Just, you know, cuddle with you, which just, you know, melts me. I mean, I'm just like, oh, for goodness sake, please come here and let me hold you in my lap all night long. That's fine with me. If that's what you want to do, I'm happy to have you. You know, and that's how that is. It's just amazing. Let's talk about tarot cards for a second. There are probably, I don't know, what would you say, 100,000 different tarot decks, maybe more, and yet they're all different. Now, that's interesting because tarot itself is a game. I don't know if you've ever played the game of Tarot. It's actually quite entertaining. You get apps in the app stores to play Tarot. It's a betting game, not unlike bridge. It's you against the other players. So if there are four players, it's you against three players, and you're betting that you can take so many tricks. It's an incredibly difficult game, frankly, because I'm a lousy game player. I'm not very good at it. But it's a game in which you say, okay, I'm going to play so many games or win so many tricks. That's what it is. And they use the Fool and they use the Magician and they use the Universe card and all that. And those are three special cards and, you know, diddly diddly and diddly. And they've got the numbered cards, they've got the major arcana, and they've got the royalty and all that. But it's not used, well, it is used for divination, obviously. But it's more about the game itself. So in the cards that we are playing cards, we got our suits of hearts, clubs, spades, diamonds, four-leaf clovers, moons, unicorns, and all that from the French. The tarot cards we use with the swords and the wands and the cups and the discs came from Spanish playing cards, playing cards. The tarot, as we know it, encoded for divination, came from the Hermeticists, who were trying to encode information into these cards because they were being persecuted. So there is a very specific way of encoding and looking at these cards. I was thinking today, you know, I really should do something with a lot of the information that I have and pass along to maybe the future, one of which is maybe take the Crowley deck and actually write a book about some of the things that I've discovered about it, like, you know, the real meaning of the baboon on the Magus card on the Crowley deck, because it has a hidden meaning. And I said, you know, maybe that might be fun for people to know, because it took me a long time to know what it was. Or why Crowley alludes to the old story about, he's talking about the Fool, and he talks about the story that of Punch and Judy and Pontius Pilate. And he does that for a very specific reason, very specific, and it's not to actually say that that's germane to the real. It's very complicated, but there are reasons why he does things. Many of them are just to set people in a boat adrift in the sea for years, like he did me. But a lot of them are very specific and to really help people to find certain paths. And it's really quite fascinating. But I always thought, well, maybe I should. And so, I don't know, I might do that. Then again, I might not. It's kind of boring at this point, but then again, it might get exciting. I don't know. I keep thinking, you know, who knows? There are many tidbits in that deck. For example, the Two of Wands is a good one. There are two Dorjas, you know, or Vajras, as they can be called that too. But they're actually Purbas, and Purbas are symbols of the lightning bolt in Buddhism, in Tibetan Buddhism, yes, and others, but they represent the lightning bolt, but also the diamond. And at the top are two horses, and those horses are the Ashwini. And what does that represent? And why is it there? And what can we gain from that? And when we're doing a reading, what can that mean? And so anytime you see the Two of Wands, you can kind of get a feel for that it has to do with healing, and it has to do, what is that about? And what does that have to do with Mars, you see? And how does that factor into the Two and the Two of Wands? You know, there's a lot of good information in there. So I thought, well, maybe someday I'll, you know, take that down the lane, you know. But well, anyway, you get back to the idea of how many tarot decks are there and how many different visions of tarot are there when it comes to these decks. And the truth is that almost every person who has a deck does it differently. And I love that about Tarot. Tarot is an individual sort of idea that everyone has their own version or their own view of what a deck is and what it means to them. When I drew up my deck, I went ahead and presented it to U.S. Games, which is, of course, Stuart Kaplan's company, and he passed it along to his daughter. And they were very polite. My goodness, they were sweet. But they also said, nah, no, because we're looking for traditional decks. And what they meant by that was they want a deck that is very specifically seven wands that look like seven wands. They don't want... My deck is more like, for example, I have my Five of Cups, which is called Disappointment in standard decks, or at least Golden Dawn type decks, you know. It talks about disappointment, and it shows, mine shows five cups that are hanging on a wall, like a what they used to call a cupboard, you know, cup of board. And those five cups, there's a place for a sixth at the top, but the cup is gone. And so it's disappointment. The first one I drew was of a lady sitting at a table and a guy who has just downed five shots. And he's, you know, and so it's like, wow, that's disappointment because he's obviously slamming him down. And I thought, I don't like that. That's not really the point of it. It would be disappointing, but it's really about here is this idea of disappointment being something's missing here, you know. There's something there that's just not there. Maybe in the story, you get to make up the story. Where's the sixth cup? Did it break? Or did the person leave? Or has the person... I mean, then you get to... That's where your intuition comes in. And what is the real sense of that? Why is it like that? You know? So there's so much that can come from it. And that's where Tarot is really powerful. Because... And, you know, you get to kind of play the game yourself. I love that about Tarot or any kind of divination that's worth its proverbial salt. You get to infer from what is implied. I like that. That's the point of it all. That's the point of what it's really about. The I Ching is the same way. It presents an image, you know. So really the third hexagram, trouble in the beginning is kind of what it's about. It's here's a story. The story is that difficulty at the beginning. You've got rain, and you've got lightning. You've got water and lightning, and water and thunder. Actually, not really lightning, but water and thunder, rain and thunder, I should say. And you've got a wagon that needs to be hooked up, you know, and someone's got to do it, but you've got to get some help to get this wagon hooked up. This is all within the hexagram. And suddenly, and you see, you learn to read these things through the lines. You get to see what's going on. And the horse and wagon part, you know, that's one of the things. And the horses are rearing because of the thunder and the lightning. And, there's a lightning implied. And someone comes to help you. And even though he's not a bad guy, you don't accept his help. You just don't, because you don't know who he is, and you know he's not a bad person, but you say, okay, I don't want to be indebted to you because you don't know exactly who he is, but you say, okay, I know he's not a bad person, but I'm not going to. And each one of them has a story. So once you get to kind of know the story of these hexagrams, and you get to a line, and that line is implied, then you have to say, okay, what is the meaning here in this moment? And that's where intuition comes in. It's just beautiful, you know. It really, really is a lovely sort of scenario that's what intuition is about. And when you have this variance of cards, For example, I have a deck that's the Alice in Wonderland deck, and I've had it for, you know, 30 years at least, maybe more. And there's, if you know the story of Alice in Wonderland, and you pull a card and it shows Alice playing croquet with a flamingo, and you know the story, you know how absurd that is. And you know that there's something surreal about it, and unnerving about it, and just really kind of bizarre about it. And that's where you are. You know, you think, okay, how does that make me feel? And maybe it'll hearken you back to a time when you read the story and you realize that you're playing with mad people. And, you know, and it can evoke a memory, or it can evoke an image of, and you realize that, you know, we're all bozos on this bus or something. You know, that sort of, that's from Fire Sign Theater. Pardon me for that very cryptic and strange allusion. But this is the process that I just love so much. So, can you have too many decks? I don't think so. I quit buying them a long time ago because I just thought, oh man, I've got big box of cards. There are people who have hundreds of decks, maybe thousands of decks. There are a couple of decks I always kind of really wanted, but realized, probably not so much, you know. I've got a really very rare and very strange deck. It's the Tarot de Aquario, which is the Aquarian Tarot, and it's drawn by a man, I think, who was kind of probably had severe mental issues. I think he might have been even hospitalized, but it's an incredibly beautiful deck, well done. And I don't know if he was Spanish or Mexican or from where he was. But nowadays, I could just take a picture. Oh, you know what? I'm going to do that. Just take a photograph of the book that comes with it, and then have it translated via my computer, because I'm really quite curious as to what the story is behind this deck. It's very rare, I guess, and I happen to get a deck very happily at one point, surreptitiously, I would say. Yeah. So I think I will find out what that story is, but it's a remarkable deck that I would actually never use for reading. If you used it for a client, they would probably run screaming out of the room in terror. So I wouldn't want to use it. It's just that way. The H.R. Giger book, or Tarot, is unnerving. You wouldn't want to. I don't think you'd want to use that for reading either, unless the person was into it, you know. And then maybe there are a lot of decks that I wouldn't necessarily use. And then there are some very popular ones that are being used, and I don't get to see them unless I teach a class and people bring their decks, you know. There are a couple of decks that I would like to design. I've actually drawn some cards recently. I drew some really cool cards a few years ago, and I still have them on my, you know, in my collection of drawings. But I don't know. I drew a moon that I really love. I really love this card. And I think it would be a dynamic card for a deck. Just fantastic card. It is strong femininity, you know. It's just a powerful moon goddess. And I thought, man, I would love to have a chance to use this card. But once again, it's not traditional. So then you end up having to do it yourself. Plus now, the company that I use is in Hong Kong. So there's a tariff on it. You know, so a deck that costs like $30 or $40 to print is now going to cost more. And it's like, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I'm just not going to. But it's the idea that counts. And that way, when you know the meanings of cards and you kind of have it become ingrained within you, it's a sort of a shorthand. So you can use a deck of playing cards. Right, so if you pick the four of spades out of a deck, it's truce. It's the four of swords, you know, and you turn it over and you see a calming influence. You know what you're doing. If you pick the four of wands, that's pushing, that's drive, that's completion, you know, and you know what that means. If you pick the three of wands, that's that's virtue. That's the sun in Aries, and you know that. And the sun in Aries is the first day of spring. So if you pick that Three of Wands, but you have to know it, right? And that's where experience comes in. I am so turned on by learning things. I feel that learning things is one of the most important things there is. I love shorthand. Different types. I learned speed write first, and then to learn something thoroughly, if you're going to learn something else thoroughly and really kind of retain it, you have to kind of forget what you learned from the first time. You can always go and pick it back up. But I learned speed write, and then I wanted to learn another thing. I learned Pitman shorthand, which was British. And then that didn't work for me because you had to have dark and light lines. And then I decided, okay, I've been putting it off forever. And then I learned Greg shorthand, which I think is pretty fabulous. Greg shorthand is really pretty fabulous stuff. I wish I had learned it first, although I learned speed write when I was, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12, something like that. But it was not that easy. It was okay. It was not bad. But I learned one for typing, and that was pretty difficult. And I don't think very practical because there were some weird rules and stuff called can't remember, a key script. And it was an Australian lady, really very smart and very and a nice lady, but kind of tough. But Greg, and I'm thinking of learning T-line, which is what journalists use, and it's mainly for taking notes. It's not like Greg, where you actually, court reporters used to be able to write 285 words a minute with Greg's shorthand, and it's like, wow, that's nuts. The main reason I learned shorthand, by the way, was I wanted to write Jonathan Harker's journal. I thought that Pitman would have been what he would have used, but then I was incorrect. I discovered that it would probably be more likely that it would have used Greg shorthand. But I thought it would be cool to do a facsimile of Jonathan Harker's journal in Greg shorthand. I may still do it. I think, why not? Why not do something like that and just take it from Dracula? And just do that, and then fill it in with incidental stuff, like got up today, didn't do much, sat around in the cold castle, ate some flies, that sort of thing. who knows? Pardon me, I'm having a sip of tea here. It is cold in the Batcave, which is where I do my show from. Drip, 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 stalactites. Just drip, drip, drip. The tea is warm. My God, it got cold. It is cold in here. I'm wearing a hat and those gloves without any fingers, which I wish they had fingers now. But did you ever put cardamom in your coffee or your tea? That's something we foreigners do. I'm not a foreigner. I wasn't born here. I was born in England. And but it's something that a lot of people all over the world do. They put a cardamom pod in their coffee, and I've come to put it in my tea as well. You just kind of pop it a little bit so the seeds can get the benefit of the brew, and I find it to be absolutely delicious. I've gotten quite hooked on it. My dad used to put it in Turkish coffee, and which I happen to love. I don't put sugar in anymore. Boy, the way you make Turkish coffee. Oh, my goodness. Talk about loverly. Loverly. And so good. My dad and I shared we each had a cup of Turkish coffee and smoked a hookah on Cairo on a sidewalk when I was 18 years old. The family, just too much family. I had to get away, and he eventually joined me. I think my mom probably said, go find our son. We sat and watched the world go by on a little street in Cairo right around the corner from his mom's house and her apartment. And it was just fantastic. And I saw, you know, things like a donkey pulling a taxi cab filled with people. And it was just, it was a wonderful moment. My dad and me and Cairo. And she lived in Giza. So it's old Cairo, you know, just unbelievable. Lovely. God, he was a lovely man, too. So smart and so gentle and wise. He had a lot of wisdom. He had a lot of wisdom, that guy. And he was funny, too. Very, very dry sense of humor. You know, sometimes a little annoying at times, you know. But he could be that way. Oh, God, but, yeah, little cardamom in the, and when I would have people, you know, fellow students come over to the house to study, we'd cram for finals. And we had this huge kenneka, it's called, for making Turks coffee. And the Turks call it Egyptian coffee, I hear, and the Egyptians call it Turkish coffee. No one wants to take credit. And these kenekas can be very small, like for one cup of coffee. And in the Ottoman Empire, it was often considered illegal, or very crass, but sometimes it was illegal to drink more than three cups in one sitting, because it has almost a narcotic effect, because it's heavily sugared as well. And he would bring these gigantic kenekas in. He'd make a gigantic keneka for usually two or three. You know, there'd be two or three of these people in here with me, so it'd be four of us. He'd bring this huge one in and make us coffee, you know, and he'd just pour it. You pour it the right way, and the oils are on top. And this coffee would just, you know, zing. We would be like talking a million miles an hour and studying, and it worked. We'd usually ace the test the next day. And they loved coming over for that. Yeah, he would just, I didn't ask him, he'd just walk in with it, you know. Cool guy. So, Tarot, metaphysics. It's amazing what Tarot can handle. You've got these cards. You've got these cards, these 78 cards that you can encode so much into. And you should, you see. You should. You should encode as much as you can into them. And for those of you who don't read Tarot, you can take a class, but you don't necessarily have to. You can pick up, there are a lot of good books, you know. I actually gave away a 235-page document. I think that's how big it was. When people bought my Tarot deck, I would include that. Say, here you go, you know, have this. And it was a PDF. And it told about the card and told about, you know, kind of why I chose the way I did. For example, my Emperor card in my deck is a lighthouse keeper. And why I did that, why I chose a lighthouse keeper, it's because those guys had an incredible amount of responsibility and they took it very seriously and they really did the stuff that they were supposed to do. They were emperors of their domain. I mean, they made sure that people didn't, well, they tried to make sure people didn't perish at sea. They were on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's what they did. They really did save people's lives. If there was a wreck out at sea, they took that lifeboat and they pulled those oars and got out there as quickly as they could. They marked buoys for currents. They took buoy markers out and they dropped them. I mean, they did, and they, in a fog, they had to ring a bell every 30 seconds. I mean, imagine that. And they had fog horns. They had to make sure those fog horns were working. They were steam powered, or sometimes they had trumpets. I have a fog trumpet. I actually have one on my bookshelf. I'm looking right at it. They had to blow that fog horn every 2 minutes, and they had a little watch, and they had to, you know, boom, and they had to, and I mean, it's just insane, the stuff they had to do. They had to paint the lighthouse and paint the house they lived in, and they usually had an assistant, sometimes two if it was a big house. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so, and they had to polish the light You know, they had to polish the lenses. Unbelievable the things that they had to do every single day. Every day of the year. And I thought, what is better? And I love lighthouses. I just love them. What better to choose from than that for an emperor? Because without, and the true concept of an emperor, back in the pharaonic days, back in ancient Egypt, the emperor, the king, the pharaoh, as we call them, the pharaoh was actually Perah. Perah is the actual word. Means the house of joy. Per, house, joy. Ah. Don't you love that? Ah. Perah. I love that. It's a little onomatopoeia there. Like the ancient Egyptian word for a cat is a mau. Mau. Yeah, I love that. For a donkey, uh-uh. Uh-uh. E-aw. That's it for a donkey. Not, it's like the ancient Egyptian god of wind. His name is Shu. Shu. I love that. That's so cool, you know? They had a lot of that. They were very cool people who didn't live very long. The average age of that time was 30. They lived to the age of 30. So you're going to be kind of into stuff, you know? You're going to make it easy. So here is this incredible concept of absolutely doing your thing and doing it right, you know. I love that about, and but you can see whatever you want to in it. So you take a card, whatever it may be, and you buy a tarot deck, and it doesn't matter what deck it is, and you look at it, you say, well, what does this mean to me? And that's the beauty of life. You don't have to listen to someone else about something. You don't have to say, well, this is what this has to be. No, you forget about that. You say, what does this mean to me? And you can take every tarot book you've ever seen, and you can use it to keep your table steady, you know, under the third leg or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. It's what does it mean to you? Because that's all that matters. Yeah, you can use books to kind of give you an idea. Because really all it is a basic concept of, okay, this is one way to look at it. This is, was it designed that way? Now, maybe not even necessarily so. You see? Maybe not necessarily so. The truth is that it's all about how you resonate with it. That's what it's all about. That's what all of metaphysics is based on. And I know that sounds a little bit abstract, and maybe it sounds a little bit like BS, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. It's all about how does it resonate with you. Now, we're right in the middle of what I consider to be one of the strangest historical times I can remember. I lived through Watergate. I lived through the Kennedy assassination. I remember it very well. Things were hectic. People were freaking out left and right. There was a lot of talk of what should we do? Was this a conspiracy? Later on, actually, that. I lived through Vietnam and the hysteria surrounding that. And this is weirder than anything I can remember. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. And it's going on right now. But you can kind of put that aside and say, okay, so what do we do? What do we do? Well, what I like to do is kind of center up, focus in on the stuff that fascinates me. Because I, other than maybe writing a letter or two or making a phone call or two to someone to influence and say, you know what? I'm not happy with this. I don't like this. This annoys me. And I vote. Other than that, there's not a whole lot I can do, but I can keep my mind active. And I think life is all about saying, I'm enjoying this ride. And trust me, I am enjoying this ride one heck of a lot. It's fun. It's interesting. And I'm enjoying learning things, and I like to learn as much as possible. So I think it's important for us, especially us, we, who are fascinated with the world at large, to keep it shaken up a little bit. you know. So I don't know. I looked at T-Line. It's okay, you know. I looked at one called Forkner. And it uses, I'm back to shorthand, and it uses longhand, and it just didn't look great to me. It didn't look like the type of thing that I would, it kind of reminded me of speed write. I like shorthand, but then again, I go back sometimes and I can't read what I wrote because I didn't write it very well. So it's just, but it's something that I used to love codes, you know, secret codes. Friends and I, we did Morse code, and I knew Morse code as well as I knew the English alphabet. I could do it fast, you know. I actually was very fast. But then again, I like to keep it simple now. But I love to learn. Don't you love to learn? And it doesn't have to be so formal. Nowadays, on the internet, you can find anything you want. And I mean that. And you don't necessarily have to pay for it. Not that you shouldn't honor someone and pay them for it. I'm not saying you're stealing it. It's just, it's out there. The information is open. Go to archive.org. That's the Internet Archive. Look up books. You can find almost anything you want to learn. Look up the Cistercian numeral system, which I think is brilliant. It's a genius system that Cistercian monks used that uses only straight lines, and it's numerals from 1 to like 10,000. And it just uses a series of straight lines. It's easy. It just kind of to the point. I love it. And I actually do use it sometimes, like in journals and things like that, because it's kind of, well, it looks kind of cool. But I like it. It's different. And it stimulates the mind. We have to keep our mind stimulated. Because if we don't, I think we're in trouble. If we don't stimulate our mind somehow, we're in trouble. We have to keep ourselves stimulated. I journal. I've started journaling in earnest again. And it's good to get out the flotsam and jetsam. I use it to get things out of my head, because when my head gets jammed up, it's ugly in there. You know, it's like I can obsess about things. We need to keep creating. Creation is extremely important as human beings, as creative human beings, and I don't think you'd be listening if you weren't creative in some sense or another. We have to keep moving forward with our minds. We have to use our minds. You know, our minds are creative tools. When we talk about magic, you know, with a K, which is fine, the K is the creative part. And someday we'll talk about really why it's there. Today's not a good day for that. But the point is, and it is there for a reason, and people who say, oh, that's just silly, to have no idea why it's there, and that's fine. Not everyone's supposed to understand that. But the point is that when we really, really begin to understand the mental process and how it interacts with nature and how we can actually create good things in our lives, one of the prerequisites is to have a good, open communication with ourselves, and how if it gets bogged down with things like too many worries. I was bogged down for the last, gosh, I would have to say the last 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, because of the hurt I was going through with the loss of a friend. But honestly, and I'm just saying this without trying to sound like a jerk, I'm ready to move on and move on with my life and get back into the flow. And I was kind of in a doldrum before that too. It's easy to get that way. It's easy to say, you know what, I just don't feel like doing anything right now. But I'm ready to do a lot right now. I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to get something going, to giddy up, as they say. You know, to kind of see what comes next. There's a lot that can come next. There's a lot that can happen. Using our energies, using our intellect, because the mind itself is, in fact, a creative tool. It isn't just coming up with ideas. It's much more than that. It's the fact that it creates its own energies. It creates its own power. It has an electrical charge within it. That's not even the point. It's not, that's not what it is. it is connects to something that we cannot understand. And that's something that's been known for thousands of years. Call it what you will. Call it whatever you want. The ancients thought it connected to the deities, the gods. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a fact that it works. Call it nature, call it the universe. It's that it works, and it is incredibly powerful and incredibly beautiful. I need to meditate more. I know that. I know that. I love meditation. I love the way it feels. I love the process. I love how I feel afterwards, and it works, and it attunes me. It puts me right in line. You know, I used to, every day, I'd sit down with a Tibetan prayer wheel. Got one right here. You can probably hear that. This is a noisy one, but it's a good one. And you sit like this, and after about an hour of doing that, you are long gone. You can get these online. I got this at a Tibetan store in Boulder 40 years ago, you know. And I've had it ever since, obviously. No one came in and stole it. But I've had it ever since. And I used to sit for, you know, an hour and a half, and just or an hour, whatever, just as long as I, and you just sit and spin that counterclockwise, or clockwise, by the way, clockwise. And counterclockwise is Bon, and there's nothing wrong with Bon. I just don't know that I can handle all those energies properly. But you, and you do that for an hour, or you just run beads. You know, money upon me, money upon me, money upon me. Whatever you do, it's prayer, whatever it is, we need to put some attention to that other world in any way that you do it, and it will repay you many times over. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about here. There are a lot of things I don't know, a lot of things I don't understand, but I know that if you pay attention to that other world, it will pay attention to you. And when it does that, and you're not asking for anything, you're just saying, I acknowledge. And it says, I acknowledge you. And when you acknowledge it, and it acknowledges you, it tunes in and it helps. And that's fact. And it does help. That felt good. Yeah, I feel like I've been kind of in a rut, and I'm feeling that rut lift. I'm feeling life charging me up again, and I've needed that for a long time. Maybe I needed to get a kick in the pants. I definitely feel that. You know, I threw my back out in November. It took 2 months for me to shake that off. You know, because I'm getting older. Getting older doesn't mean anything other than getting older. Because the mind is still there. Oh, it's a little weirder now. I can guarantee you that. I do guarantee that. But it's still there. And it's still relatively sharp. It's stranger than it was. But I also know more than I did. And I'm going to start sharing stuff. You know? Why learn it if I'm not going to share it? But I've got a lot of ideas. I just need to figure out how I'm going to work this out. But in the meantime, I'm just going to speak, just going to talk. I like talking. There's a lot going on. A lot going on around us. As you can tell, things need to be worked out. There are a lot of things that are just plain not right. And together, maybe we can push things back into the right position a little bit. Tweak it, little by little. All it takes is the right attitude. And I know you've got the right attitude. And I know I've got the right attitude. So let's give it a try, shall we? Okay? Okay. I'm feeling pretty good. I hope you're feeling pretty good. Let's keep a good attitude on us, shall we? Because I am sick and tired of the negativity. I am sick and tired of the fear. I am sick and tired of the loathing. And I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm pretty happy, actually. So let's keep it that way, shall we? All I know is that it's time for us to stand up and feel good. It's going to be cold for a while. Around here, they're saying on the weekend it's going to be 60 degrees, which is nice. I can deal with that. Yeah. Yeah, I sure can. So we have our dog, and I love our dog, and you've got things that you love, and hug them and snuggle with them. And if you have people in your life that you love, tell them. Let them know you love them. They'll look at you weird. They'll think you're strange, but love them. Let them know. If you have people you appreciate, let them know. Tell people that you care. That's important. Just as I'm telling you right now, I care and I love you. Don't forget that, and I mean it. I never say it if I don't mean it. I mean that. I love you. Till next week, peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.